that he has a hope in nothing less than Christ Jesus and his righteousness. Amen? And no matter what's going to happen, Paul's already made the decision, rather in life or death, he was going to glorify God. And what he had an understanding and revelation of is no matter what happened to him, it was for the benefit of others. Amen? So sometimes when we go through the trials and the tests of life, it's for the benefit of others. Amen? And as children of God, as grown-up children, we're to show a great example and testimony to the others of how we can overcome. Amen? So our text tonight is found in Philippians chapter 1, verse number 20. The Apostle Paul says this. He says, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. That God was going to be glorified in his body. In other words, Christ was crucified for us. And he says, that's no longer I that liveth, but Christ that liveth in me. And he's showing us an example that many will be martyred for Christ's sake. And as they're martyred for Christ's sake, that they're bringing glory to God and others because of what Paul went through. Guess what? Who's benefiting from it? You and I, amen? So it was for the glory, even in life and death. We know that Paul eventually faced death. He was hung upside down, amen? So what we look at here, the word of God says, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and then to the Greek. So Paul says he's not ashamed of who he's standing for and who he's representing. Rather, things are going right or things are going wrong. Amen? Nowhere in the Word of God does he tell us that everything's going to go right. Amen? But even in the midst of the wrong, he will give us strength through it all. So first, this calls for a kingdom mindset. The mindset. Okay? We have to choose, to keep. One of the things that the Lord was speaking to me about keeper when I was running this morning in the park. The Lord told me that I and we are keepers. Amen. You're a keeper. Amen. In other words, it's for the longevity of it. It's forever. God said he's keeping us. We're to be kept. And as we keep his word, he keeps us. Okay? He says in Psalms 119, he says in verse number 1, he says, blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in his ways. Thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. In other words, God to keep us, and he's telling us we have the mindset to keep his word. You remember what the Lord told the Apostle Paul on the road to Damascus? What did he tell him? He said, Paul, if you come after me, you're going to suffer many things for my name's sake. Amen? Amen? So as we're going through stuff, it's how we keep his word. And as we keep his word, God keeps us. I know no matter what happens, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Rather absent or present, I belong to him. Amen? And so I'm going to give him all the gusto. When we keep his word, when we study to show ourselves approved, workmen that need not be ashamed, when he keep his word, we all of a sudden have a to know. I say to know here. I have a no-so mentality. Amen? No-so. If God's word is true, He sent his word for us to know. And the prophet Isaiah said in Isaiah chapter 50, verse number 7, he was convinced. He said, "For the Lord God will help me, therefore," verse 7, "shall I not be confounded. Therefore have I set my face like flint, and I know that I shall not be ashamed. He is near that justifieth me. Who will contend with me? Let us stand together. Who is mine adversary? Let him come near to me. Behold, the Lord God will help me. Who is he that shall condemn me? They all shall wax old as a garment, and the moth shall eat them up." Amen. 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 God wants us to, as we're keeping his word and keeping his, he keeps his promises to 1,000 generations. Okay? And as we're looking at this and we're seeing this, when we keep his word, we have a no-so mentality. And to me, when I have that, it kindles something inside of me. It's like Jeremiah, the prophet Jeremiah said that it was like fires shut up in his bones, and he was not able to forbear. He couldn't hold it back. And I know that God's done so much in our lives, and so many times we forget what he's done, and we're always looking for the next thing, all right? How many know that we're kind of really needy people? Hello? Amen? And what God is saying to us is, hey, if you keep my word, then you'll know whenever you're going through something, and I'll kindle a fire within you. And I love what the John the Beloved says in 1 John chapter 2, verse 28. He says, "And now little children abide in him, that when he shall appear, we shall have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. And you know that he is righteous. You know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him." Amen. We become a seed of what we're born. We become a fruit of the vine, okay? That Jesus is the vine, and we become a seed of the vine. In other words, if we abide in him and his word abides in us, then he said, "Whatsoever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it you." Amen. So we're looking first at, hey, when we keep his word, well, all of a sudden we study his word, we have a no-so mentality, and when the enemy comes against me, it kindles the truth within me. And in other words, there's something that always shows me the word. The Bible says, the word of God says, the Spirit will give you utterance when you know not what to pray. And sometimes I don't know what to pray, so I'm seeking the Lord, and he'll guide me and direct me. And he tells us the steps of a righteous man have been ordered by the Lord. Amen. So I'm getting into that mindset, you know. That mindset means for you and I, we got to make our minds up. Again, I'll say it. The Bible says a double-minded man is unstable in everything he does, in all of his ways. In other words, either I'm going to believe him at his word, I'm going to know it, I'm going to keep it, I'm going to know it, I'm going to let it kindle, I'm going to let the Spirit of God guide me and direct me, amen? And as I do that, then I have the motivation, amen? How many know that the greatest motivator we have is the Holy Spirit? Amen? You know, the Holy Spirit motivates me to do things that my flesh doesn't want to do. Now, what am I going to feed? I'm going to listen to the Spirit of God, or I'm going to listen to my flesh? Amen? Our flesh is always in battle with the Spirit. So first, the motivation that it takes us, if we're going to keep his word, and when we keep it, we know it, it kindles something inside of us. We're motivated by the Spirit of God, but we're motivated by faith. In Ephesians chapter 3, the Apostle Paul says in verse number 10, he says, "To the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, and whom we have boldness in access with confidence by the faith of him. Apostle Paul says, wherefore I desire that ye faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. The Apostle Paul said, you know, when he was in this place, now he's writing to the church of Ephesus and said, hey, man, I'm going through this for you. Amen? Amen? I'm showing you that I can stand, you and I, through the help of the Holy Spirit, can stand strong in the midst of any battle or adversity we're facing. Amen? It's sort of like this. God says to me, if Paul can do it, you can do it. Because the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, and the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwelled in Paul. It's the same Spirit. There isn't a different Spirit. It's the same Holy Spirit. Amen? And so we do this by faith, and we do this also by following. Following. And I have here Romans chapter 14, the Apostle Paul again writing. He's reminding us in verse 17, for the kingdom of God is not in meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. For he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace and things wherewith one may edify or build up another. Amen. There's enough tearing down. We're here to build each other up. Here's the thing. We're being raised up in this atmosphere of teaching and instruction. So on Sunday mornings, when the guest or the new believer walks in, the ones that are in faith are standing strong. They're not looking for me. I need this. I need this. I need this. Oh, I need this. I need that. They're here to serve others. Amen. You're here to give. Jesus, he said, give and it shall be given back to you. Good measure. So we're being raised up to be a giver. So Sunday's an opportunity to reach the newborn, to reach the lost, to minister to others, okay? We're being equipped to minister. And it's not always about us. In other words, God can't give us something if we ain't pouring nothing out. In other words, we've become stuffy and stuck up because we're not allowing the gifts of God to flow through us to minister to someone else. And that's what the Lord is saying to us, that we're here to give to others, to minister to others. And he said also here, by fighting. You know, he says to fight the good fight of faith, lay a hold of eternal life, whereby you're called and profess a good witness, testimony in front of many witnesses. But in Hebrews chapter 13, when we gather together, we're declaring this. He's telling you and I, but to do good and to communicate, forget not. I'm on 13:6, excuse me. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Amen? In other words, we're here, we're motivated by faith. Our faith helps us follow the Lord. As we're following the Lord, we're fighting a good fight. We're laying a hold of eternal life, you know? We're being ministers for his glory and for his honor. So that's our motivation. The Spirit motivates us. Thirdly, the Spirit is to magnify, we talked about that a little bit last week, and if we magnify our problem and make it larger than God's word, then our problem wins the battle. We're magnifying the Lord in Psalms 34. The psalmist says this in verse number 1. He says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. Say, thank you, Jesus, for being my deliverer. Amen. And you know, man cannot live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So as we're looking at this, as it's being, his word is being magnified, all of a sudden fear is dissipating or disappearing. And then we're able to minister, to wait on others. God has called us to give to others what he's deposited in us. And I love what the prophet Isaiah said in Isaiah 25. He said, O Lord, thou art my God, and I will exalt thee. I will praise thy name, for thou hast done wonderful things. Thy counsels of old are faithfulness and truth. Amen. So in other words, the reason I'm using that scripture that the prophet said is sometimes we're thinking about what I'm capable of doing and not looking at what God's capable of doing. And then I get held back because I'm trusting in me to do something instead of him to do it through me. Amen. And when God places someone in front of you to minister to, we just have to trust him and his word and love them right where they're at and allow the Spirit of God to minister. Amen. I think it's so important if we're going to expand the kingdom of God, which God has called us to do, sometimes we got to open our mouths up and we got to start ministering love. Amen. Amen. You know, I don't know about you, but the Lord was speaking to me about this week and dealing with different situations and different things. And he said, there was a little old song that said, went like this, walk a mile in these shoes. Walk a mile in these shoes. I don't know what the rest of the words are. I don't even know if I'm singing. But it was a song. It was walk a mile in these shoes. And I was looking at that, and the Lord said, when I put place someone in front of you, I want you to stand in his shoes. And if you stand in his shoes, you may have a better understanding where they're at and how they got to the place they are. And you won't look down your nose at them. All right? You know, and I was thinking about that, and I was looking at that, and then the Lord showed me how I was so blessed. Have I gone through those? No, but I was blessed. I come from a generation of ministers, from generation to generation. You know, we were all raised in the house of God, you know, and a lot of these people never were witness at it or partook of that. It comes from all kinds of different things in their lives. So as we're ministering God's word and ministering his love, God says, hey, he's going to bring broken and hurt people. He says, blessed are the brokenhearted, for they shall be what? They shall be healed. He's the healer, not us. And God wants us to love people right where they're at, but love them so much that we will help them not to stay where they're at and allow them to have revelation and understanding of the Lord. I don't know about you, but when he started showing me the things that he watched over and protected me from, man. It was really something because I was complaining about ministering to someone I didn't want to. Anybody ever been in a place where you don't want to? And it wasn't the Spirit of God. It was my flesh. And when the Lord told me to put on his shoes, the Lord showed me some things that I never knew. And they never told me. But all of a sudden, he began to give me revelation and understanding. All right? So there's people that have been through a lot of different things. Amen? And some are kind of rough. But God's really fine. He's got the best sandpaper. He'll smooth out all the edges if you just trust him and allow him to minister to them. Amen? He'll soften them up by his spirit. So Every time I think that I've got somewhere, he takes me someplace else and shows me something else. So when somebody's in front of you that really needs ministry or needs love, and they're hard, maybe hard to love, ask the Lord to allow you to be in their shoes for a moment just so you can see what they might be going through or what they've been through. Amen. This whole process is the magnification of his word to magnify it so that we can minister, because we are to marry him, you know? I'm the bride of Christ. I really never understood that clearly as a guy. It's a guy thing with me. But in Revelation chapter 19, to Mary, we find the end of the book. And he says in verse number 7, he says, "Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and the wife, or the bride of Christ, have made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. And he saith unto me, Write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, These are the true sayings of God." So when I was looking at this, God saying to us, like the Apostle Paul, we have to have a kingdom mindset to keep his word. When we keep his word, we have a no-so mentality. A no-so mentality will kindle a fire in the right direction. The Spirit of God will give us the motivation by faith, by following his word, that we can fight the good fight. Then we have the magnification. It's being magnified in front of us so that we can minister, because we will be in the great wedding or in marriage when it's all consummated and all comes together. Amen? Amen? And we got the engagement ring, okay? We're engaged to the Father through Christ Jesus. So with a kingdom mindset, And with Holy Ghost motivation, we glorify and exalt with magnification the mighty name of Jesus. Amen? I don't know about you, but I want to exalt his name. I want to glorify his name. I want to magnify the name of Jesus. Amen? And you know, he has been so good to you and I. Amen? And he isn't done yet. Amen? Amen? Aren't you happy to be a child of God? Amen. Can we celebrate him? Can we give him praise and glory? You know, I just want to give a heads up. And I'll speak a little bit on Sunday. We have a Christmas program here on the 22nd where the children are going to do a Christmas program. And the 25th, we celebrate Christmas. But I want you to understand, we're truly celebrating Christmas this Sunday when we feed the hungry and the homeless. The gift of giving. Yes. Blessed are they that give. Amen. Amen. And we need to have a giving attitude. Amen. We got to make our living by our giving, right? So can we all just stand? Too much tinsel, too much lights, too much decoration. Amen. And not enough giving glory to the Lord. Amen. It's all about, you know, what do? We're here celebrating our Savior. Amen. Amen. Can we celebrate our Savior? Amen. Can we lift our hands to heaven? Father, I thank you for every man and woman in this room tonight, Father God. I thank you for the call of God that's on each and every life, Father God. And I pray, Father God, as you ministered to us, you told us to have a kingdom mindset, Father God, and that the Spirit of God would motivate us, Father God, and you would magnify your word, and you would magnify the need around us, Father God, so that we will allow you to minister through each and every one of us to reach and meet each and every need according to your riches and glory in Christ Jesus. So, Lord Father, I pray for Holy Ghost fervor, motivation inside of each and every one of us. Stir up every gift that's in us, Father God. May none be laid dormant, Father God. And we may we not be selfish in any means in this season, because this is the season of giving. Give and it shall be given back to us, good measure, pressed down, shake together, and running over. As you give, the Father return into our bosom, Father God. So, Lord Jesus, with a heart of giving, we give you our everything tonight, Father God. We release all of our cares and our concerns to you, release our trials to you, release our bodies, minds, souls, and spirit, and we say, Lord, have your way in our lives. And we'll never cease to give you all the glory and praise, for we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.